He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It's Monday already, and it is the live edition of the Best Stocks Now, or is it Best Inverse Funds Now show to start a new week where the attention is going to turn to earnings this week. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our CFA, our resident CFA. He'll be talking a little bit about some of the big reports coming up, economic reports coming up this week, and the big picture for the economy. Well, you know what? We were up a little. We're still up a little, but it's a mixed open. The Dow is up 14 points, now 37 points. It's at 29,334, but we look across the pond at the other indexes. S&P's down 11 right now to 36.28. That is below that June low of 36.36. It's undercutting that. That's not good. The NASDAQ is down 78. It's at 10,575, and there's some support levels there that I showed in my newsletter on Friday. If the NASDAQ is to break those support levels, and it looks like it's very possible, there's quite a bit more downside technically to the NASDAQ. The small caps are flat right now. Crude oil is up 9 cents to $92.73. Hey, what happened to 78 not too long ago? Of course, the OPEC played their hand last week. While Biden is releasing oil from the strategic oil reserves, they're cutting production. So they kind of offset each other. Gold down $26 per ounce. And the 10-year is up 5 basis points to 3.89. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Best Inverse Funds have been leading the way here recently, and we had a massive sell-off to end the week on Friday. I hate to remind you of that. You know, we got a fresh start here on Monday. But I got a comment, got to remind you that the Dow was down 630 points on Friday. And Barry, it was the unemployment report. It was the unemployment number, the overall number going down, right? Was it 3.6 to 3.5, something like that?
Yeah, I think it's 3.5 on the unemployment rate, 3.5, maybe 3.4. But the I think, you know, as we've talked about, the job market's is one of the stickier parts of the inflation picture, and it, you almost have to break the system in order to get folks pink slips nowadays. There's so many job openings. I think we're over 10 million. Got that number, I think, a week or two ago. And, of course, this week it's CPI week, so we'll get CPI
Thursday.
Later on Thursday. So
listen,
we'll ride the volatility until then.
You're going to do the show on Thursday. I'm going fishing. I'll be up late all this week with the Padres in L.A. We advanced.
I know. I saw that.
You know
last
what?
Night.
The Mets were so shocked that the Padres could be beating them. They had our pitcher's ears checked. You saw that. They called in a meeting and said, he must be doing something. He must have something in his ears. It's all they could find was earwax. Maybe that'll make a ball spin faster. But they were so shocked that the Padres could be beating anybody. They had to check our pitcher's ears. Well, we'll see if they can carry that into... Well, the L.A. Dodgers, one of the best records of all time.
Yeah, it was 111 wins or something.
Oh,
like
my
that,
gosh. But you know what? This is a different Padre team, so we shall see. Okay, that jobs report on Friday sent the market south after those two big days on Monday and Tuesday. You know, where did the rally go? It was a powerful rally starting last week, and it all kind of fizzled out as the week went on. And, of course, I want to say, yeah, I'm pretty sure this is the last CPI report before a pretty big election in 3 weeks now. We're just 3 weeks out from the midterm elections. Inflation not going in Biden's direction. Oil prices not going in Biden's direction. And, of course, that CPI report this Thursday will tell us where we're at right now with inflation. AMD got whacked on Friday. Man, I am so glad I sold my AMD a long time ago. You know, that's why you have to draw a line in the sand on stocks that you own. Because it can get a lot worse if you don't have some kind of a discipline. And if you don't have a discipline and you're just working off of emotions, you know, your emotions change. All of a sudden it's down 5%, down 10%. I can't sell it here. Then it's down 15%, 20%. Then you're saying I should have sold it there. Maybe just put in an automatic sell stop in a downtrending market. That's not a bad idea. It just kind of takes the emotion out of the picture. And then people say, well, what do I do now? I'm down 30% on this position. Well, you know what? You listen to the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite, and we try to guide you through. Or, you know what? I've had a lot of folks transfer their accounts, their portfolios to me, because they've been frozen, they've been locked, they haven't known what to do, or their advisor doesn't know what to do. And the first thing I do is put them up on my list every day of stocks that I look at, and I do the trimming for you. That takes the emotion out of it. We have light volume expected today. Remember Columbus Day? It used to be a big holiday. You know, the bond market, I want to say, I think the bond market,
the bond market is closed. Well, it was closed for, you know, for years, even after the stock market, stayed open on Columbus Day. I'll check that out. We'll take a look.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's closed today. So, there's going to be light volume. Some people do have Columbus Day off. And you know, here's the deal, that unemployment rate, okay, that's going to push. This is the consensus out there. That's going to push the Fed's finish line farther out of view. Okay, so yeah, you're wondering when the pain will end. I mean, you've been running this race. It's been grueling. Your muscles ache. Your brain hurts. And then they move the finish line on you further out, and that's kind of what's going on here with the market. The jobless rate actually went from 3.7 to 3.5, and, of course, that makes the jobs picture look better, but it also prolongs that pivot, whenever that comes, that pivot by the Fed of the pain stopping. But right now it looks like the pain will continue to be inflicted until inflation shows a market improvement. We've got, in fact, well, New York Fed's Williams, he expects inflation to fall significantly next year. Well, from his mouth to God's ears, we'll see. It hasn't come down yet, but he's expecting it to come down into the mid fours. The central bank has already lifted the benchmark lending rate by 300 basis points. Now, that just shows me how far behind the curve they were. They should have been raising rates in 2021, you know, despite Omicron and Delta and all the other variants, but they kept rates low to keep the economy propped up. And now they're in desperation. They're racing. And it's causing this massive jitters and sell-offs in the markets. I mean, the reverberations are worldwide, really, of what's going on with our Fed and other central banks around the world. Okay, and it could be, you know, we talked about this theory last couple of weeks that until the jobs start falling, until the layoffs start rising and the unemployment rates starts rising, that's going to keep inflation high. That's kind of, you know, what we'll be looking for is some erosion in those weekly unemployment claims. We need to see those go up, unfortunately. We need to see new jobs created go down. We need to see new job openings go down. We need to see the unemployment rate go down or go up. And a lot of people think until that happens, we're not going to see the Fed pivot that everybody's waiting for. And then the one central bank that's still kind of bucking the trend, the Bank of England expands its bond market support program, as they've had the bond vigilantes after their bond market over in the UK. Well, if there's not enough volatility, this is the beginning of earnings week. Welcome to earnings season. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. NASDAQ down 73 right now. I've had a chance to look at quite a few stocks here. The tech stocks look terrible today. Again, not a good place to be. PSQ, inverse NASDAQ, looks much better. QID, double inverse NASDAQ, looks much better. As the chip stocks in particular continue to sag. I mean, even your big stalwarts like Apple and Microsoft, they just look awful. The Dow is up 27 right now, so it's holding on to a little bit of its gains. The oil energy stocks had a very good end to the week last week. They're starting off a little bit soft here today. But that move by OPEC last week to decrease production by 2 million barrels, that's a game changer. I mean, they're playing their hand. They're predicting that we won't counter their move by upping our ante, by upping our production in Texas, Ohio, Louisiana, you know, North Dakota, Pennsylvania. And they're probably making a pretty good bet because I've heard nothing about upping our production to counter. We could easily counter. We could turn the pipeline on from Canada. We could go. There's just all kinds of things that we could do to counter OPEC. Instead, we complain about OPEC and what they did. Well, you know what? Sometimes you have to counter moves by folks like this, and there just doesn't seem to be any will.
I haven't heard any talk
none,
about it. I mean, it's
none. Yeah. Release strategic oil reserves, one, and two, talk to Venezuela. Loosen the sanctions on Venezuela, which is dirty oil to begin with. Okay, well, earnings season, it's here. It's upon us. J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Citigroup will report on Friday. The expectations to begin this new earnings season are pretty low. I mean, we're looking at the predictions of 2.6% growth versus this same quarter last year. Now, this is the fourth quarter of 2022. We would have to have a really bad earnings season to not have record earnings this year. Okay, that's the good side of things. We're going to be around $207 per share for 2022. That's going to be a record. But that's already been accounted for. That's already in the S&P 500. It's already in the indexes. Everybody now looking ahead to 2023 and 2024. And, of course, when these companies report, they're going to give guidance, especially for next year. And I have seen more than the normal amount of companies guiding lower so far. So, you know, I was pretty negative on the last earnings season 3 months ago. I was wrong. It came in better than expected. This earnings season, I'm even more negative. on the prospects than I was last time around. I hope I'm wrong. But there will be, you know, all eyes on the earnings season. 2.6% is the number that EPS is expected to grow by. And, of course, I think earnings are somewhere in the 8.6 area, something like that.
And currency and, headwinds, I mean, you know.
Yes.
Strong dollar is not going to be great for earnings, so it, especially your multinationals.
That's the things to be looking for is currency ramifications of a strong dollar, slowdown in the economy around the world and in the U.S., and inflation cutting margins. Those are the big ones. And thereby companies guiding lower. Analysts have cut profit forecasts by $34 billion over the last couple of months. We've seen that, and that, you know, when those expectations go down, the market goes down. We've seen that over the last couple of months. Apple's report will be very crucial to the market. Tesla, as always, Microsoft, Walmart. It's always a fun time. There's always a lot to talk about on Best Stocks Now show. We're looking for those best earnings reports now. I got a hunch that if you miss, you're going to get hammered. I think the market is much more nervous and ready to pounce. And I don't think if you beat by 2 cents, 3 cents, that's going to be good enough. Not in this market environment. This week, we said the banks, Pepsi will report, Citigroup, Taiwan Semiconductor, Delta Airlines, BlackRock, United Healthcare, Morgan Stanley. Those are kind of the big ones. It's a slow week to begin, and then it picks up steam, and before you know it, you're right in the center, and those earnings reports are coming in fast and furious.
So we get EPS and we get CPI.
Yes, EPS, CPI. Do we get PPI on Friday too?
We may. I know we get retail sales. It's kind of back ended this week. You've got, let's see. I know we've got retail sales. I think comes out on Friday. Yeah, CPI on Thursday. Retail sales on Friday. Some consumer sentiment numbers. I'm sure those will be very rosy.
Yeah.
An import price index. I think PPI comes next week.
And if you can't take it, you know, there's a lot of baseball to take your mind off of things. Boy, the worst game I saw was poor Toronto Blue Jays. They had a 9-1 lead, and they blew it. Seattle, which I'm glad to see Seattle. We share a training facility in Peoria, Arizona with the Seattle Mariners. We're kind of sister teams, I guess. We've made a lot of trades with each other over the years. And, you know, it's been a long time since the Padres and the Mariners. What are the odds of the Padres and the Mariners
right?
being in the final eight? But they're there, and they made it after just a devastating loss for Toronto. Okay, there's been some escalation to the war since we last talked, and it's not good in any way. You had the bridge going to the Crimean Peninsula with massive damage to it and a big explosion, and now there's missiles hitting Kyiv, and the bigger concerns are the wheat in the Black Sea region. All of a sudden, you've got wheat futures surging on Black Sea supply concerns after missile strikes. So I'm just going to look at the wheat ETF right now. Ooh, yeah, it's up 5.4%. That's a breakout. And, you know, I've been putting out, just for fun, trying to help folks here, a daily best trading ideas list. We started on Thursday, I want to say, or Friday, one of those, with about 51 stocks. A lot of them did really well on Friday. And I put out a new list today. Most of the same ones, but with some additions. I think there's 70 on the list. If you sign up for the newsletter this week, we'll be sending out that trading list until further notice. I'm just doing it for for a while. I'm having fun with it. You might see this wheat ETF on it tomorrow. That's a good-looking chart. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Cott. I'm just seeing the same pattern. Every attempt at a rally in the market, it gets hit and sells off. The Dow was up over 100. Now it's up just 23. The NASDAQ's been underwater all day. It's down about 80. S&P down 14 right now. That's the kind of market that we are in. Now we need to talk about the energy markets. That has been the one bright spot in the market this year. That trade kind of got really crowded, and then all of a sudden, you know, the release, there are two factors drove oil down into the mid-70s. One was the continual release of the strategic oil reserves. I don't know how much is left in there. I know there's enough to get to November 4th, but beyond that, I don't know how much is left in those strategic oil reserves. And that has been pretty much what's driven down the oil cost and the fear of recession, okay? The fear of recession also has also driven down oil prices. I saw over the weekend that the hottest item in Europe right now is firewood. Firewood. What? You know what? Are caves next, Barry? I mean, are we going to go back to the caveman days of heating our homes with wood and cooking over an open fire in an apartment?
I want to know how many residences have an actual fireplace in Europe. I mean, you get a lot of course, you know, apartments and things, you know, building on top of each other. Well, that doesn't it's not very conducive to fireplace, right?
No, my TV has a screensaver that's a crackling fire, but it doesn't heat the house. I've noticed. I'm wondering what the heck.
It looks great, though.
Crackles and pops. Christmas morning, it's a good little thing to have on. But it's still freezing. Okay, so here you got natural gas prices. Here's the reason why natural gas is slipping. But I have noticed, I watch this UNG ETF every day. I'm thinking that it's probably bottomed. But, you know, they're getting a massive imports of LNG from everywhere. And last week we reported, I didn't know this, that liquid LNG is not on the list of sanctioned items from Russia. So they're not getting it through the pipeline, obviously, but they're getting it from ships. The shipping stocks continue. In fact, on the trade list, potential best trades now, that's what you got to look at it yourself and the charts, and you know what setup you like in charts. I know what setup I like in charts. But the shipping stocks, there's a couple of them on there right now. EURN has probably been one of the better shipping stocks out there. And, of course, the U.S. is supplying a lot of the liquid natural gas to Europe. To try to help them weather the storm, pardon the pun here, coming in Europe this year. Morgan Stanley is lifting their LNG price forecast on soaring European demand. So that's what you have to remember, even though the price has gone down here recently. Morgan Stanley raises its price estimate for liquid natural gas in 2023 and 2024, as skyrocketing demand from Europe intensifies global competition and causes supply deficits next year. Well, that's very bullish. Europe has filled stockpiles for this winter to 90%. Well, that's pretty good. Even as Russian cut exports to the continent. But Morgan Stanley said Europe's call for LNG could rise by as much as 50 million tons and may continue to have below normal inventories for winter 2023 and 2024. Morgan Stanley sees the need for prices to remain elevated for longer to continue constraining demand, Morgan Stanley said. In other words, we haven't seen price destruction, demand destruction yet. But that's Morgan Stanley's forecast. Now, in the meantime, we're a little over $3 a gallon, $3.25, $3.30, somewhere in there. They're up at $6 a gallon in California. And Newsom, Governor Newsom, is seeking a windfall tax as gasoline prices keep rising. Well, you know what? I mean, there's an underlying reason why gasoline prices keep rising.
Yeah, it's not a windfall.
Look, if they're $6 a gallon there and we're $3.25 here, I'd put a windfall tax on Governor Newsom because he's doing things that have caused gasoline prices. I mean, I lived there for 55 years of my life. He's doing things that are causing this issue. But he wants that. And then another interesting one coming out of California. You know, I just cringe every time I read about what they're up to next. The Supreme Court is going to hear a case where California will not allow caged pigs, buying the meat of pigs that were caged during their upbringing.
Yeah, the pork. Yeah, and
the pork.
Yeah, I was reading. You know, I knew that. I think it's enacted now. I knew there was like a ramp up to when that was, to when they weren't going to, allow it anymore. And they were talking about the cost of production, other things, and those rules are going to make pork more expensive for everyone because it's, you're going to have to meet California's rules on it. So in other words. You're not gonna, production for all of, essentially yeah. all of those animals. Are
Can be, California dictate to the nation how they got to raise their pigs? Well, the Razorback State will have something to say about that in Arkansas.
Yeah, right.
We'll see what happens, but the Supreme Court. I mean, this is, I think, the first time the Supreme Court's ever had a ruling on animals. I mean, it's usually things that affect people, but this does indirectly affect people. Okay, there's some stocks in the news today. Let's see. I think it Rivian. Poor Rivian. I mean, they finally get cars production line going, and my son-in-law sent me a picture of a vehicle carrier taking Rivian trucks to headed west. He was headed east. And Rivian's got a recall, all right. They got to recall every single one of their cars, which, hey, welcome to the car business, Rivian. Rivian's down 9.4% today on that
news. It's
not
an easy business. Like,
no.
There's a reason why there was only, so many big car makers.
The big three.
Around. Yeah, we're not putting together, RC cars to go, race along. You remember the old RC cars?
With
the
yeah.
Thing? I mean, these are real cars, and people are going to be in them.
And in the meantime, GM is hitting a new 52-week low. It's getting crushed today. It's down 6.8%. Ford got crushed last week, and it's getting crushed again today. It's down 7.3%. So, there's just trouble all over the place where we look. Chip restrictions continue to get tougher. That's hurting Alibaba, JD.com, Pinduoduo. I think, I show this chart every week. I think the Chinese market looks terrible. And I think FXP, I think that's on one of my 71 trading ideas. FXP is up 5.4% today on 7 times normal volume. It's double short. Let me make sure it's on the list. I don't want to be saying something that I'm out of school on here. Is FXP on the list? No, it's not on the list. What the heck? Well, I own FXP myself. Somehow it didn't make the trading list. But I do have on there several inverse funds, on the potential trade list. You know, the reason I came up with it, Barry, this isn't really a good time to be investing, you know, especially in long duration stocks and whatnot. So how do you, what do you do during a market like this? There's been a lot of, there's actually been a lot of trading opportunities, you know, especially on the inverse side of things and in the energy markets. Those are the two. You'll see that the vast majority of the stocks and ETFs, I even have a couple mutual funds on my list today. If you sign up for the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com, I'll send that list to you every day. It's a fresh list every day. But the opportunities have been in the inverse and in the energy stocks. Okay, what's happening today when we come back? Where's the action? We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Barry, if we didn't have inverse funds to talk about, we wouldn't have a whole lot to talk about here when it comes to individual stocks on the move. Or ETFs.
Not today.
Man, it has dominated. The top, you know, the list of stocks that are up 3% or more is dominated once again by inverse funds, many of which we own. We use them judiciously. I mean, I don't put somebody's IRA 100% inverse funds, but we use them as hedges. Along with cash. That's why I like being an unconstrained money manager. I'm not the manager of the Fidelity Magellan Fund that has to stay fully invested and as a consequence is down about 31% so far this year. I'm not the manager of the ARK Fund, which has to invest in innovation stocks, which is down 60% this year and obviously has to stay pretty much fully invested and can't use any hedges along the way. I can go where I want to go and do what I want. I wouldn't have it any other way as a money manager. Why have your hands tied? But I understand, you know, a lot of it is asset allocation. And the guy that runs the semiconductor fund at Fidelity, he's got to be fully invested in semiconductors and whatnot. So if somebody's using that in their asset allocation, they know they're getting what they're buying. They're not actively managed. They are actively managed, but they're constrained. That's the difference, okay? We have a big degree of cash on the sidelines. If you read my newsletters and my macro outlook every week, you'll know why. And, you know, that, number one, is a great hedge, even though there's inflation out there. But, you know, if you can't find anything to invest in, you really don't have any other choice but to just let it sit there in the money market and earn some interest. I think we're up around 55-60% overall across the board in cash, and we still own long positions, not as many as we used to, and we have a lot of inverse funds in place. So what's working today? Man, I'll tell you what, the semiconductors just continue to get pummeled. It was already bad enough for them, and then they threw this China twist kind of out of nowhere. It was a real curveball. At companies like AMD and NVIDIA and others that all of a sudden take it on the chin because they can't sell their products in China. The SOX, S-O-X-S, is up 12.6% today. And speaking of the SOX, I was just thinking, you know, this is the first year I have, you know, when's the last time the Red Sox weren't in the playoffs? The Tampa Bay Rays weren't in the playoffs? The St. Louis Cardinals not in the final eight. I mean, they made it to the wild card. Instead, we got the Padres, the Mariners, and let's not forget Philadelphia, who made it in. So speaking of SOX, up 12.6, that's inverse the semiconductors three times. The second best performer is Inverse the Semiconductors two times. It's up 9.2%. And on the other end of that semiconductor trade is China. And Inverse China, Yang, three times is up 8%. And FXP, which I mentioned a bit ago, is up 5.4% today. Tech continues to take it on the chin.
Yeah, Albemarle is about the only
long
individual stock that I see that's really in the green. I think, and it's only up 0.7% or so.
Yes, that's the lithium stock. That's one that we do own on the long side. Now, in the tech world, Inverse, okay? BERZ, B-E-R-Z, is, I think that's the FANG Innovation Index, okay? So this is pretty much Inverse, three times Inverse, the Innovation Index, the Kathy Woods of the world. It's up 7% today. And the other one in that ilk is FANGed. While the FANG stocks continue to get FANGed, FANG continues to go up. FNGD is three times Inverse, the New York Stock Exchange FANG Index. It's up 5.4% today. And the interest rate ETFs, Inverse interest rates, which we've been touting and calling and pointing out to you for a long time, we have a big position in some of these Inverse interest rate ETFs. The really crazy one is three times Inverse, the long bond, U.S. long bond market. That's TMV. Wow, look at that chart. That's the chart of the day right there, TMV. Not the DMV. I ain't going there. The TMV, that is the direction, 20-year Treasury bear, three times. It is up 5.8% so far today. And since the beginning of the year, it began the year at about 54, and it's 146, almost a triple. And, you know, the Fed telegraphed, we're going to raise interest rates. We own TBT, which is only two times. That's the other chart of the day, Barry. Look at that one-year chart on TBT, which we have a seven-figure position.
Yeah, it's grown.
It's grown. It's more than, it hasn't quite doubled, but it's getting there. TBT is two times Inverse. And you know what? That fund, that's a ProShares fund. The ProShares funds aren't real large because, you know, I mean, they're used in times like this. They're not things that you invest in long term. But this thing has $1.3 billion in it. That's pretty good. That's one of the larger ProShares funds. TBT is up 3.7% today. And then I'll just, on the long side, you found Albemarle. The leading sector in the market, this just shows you what a year this is the grain sector. Grain. JJG is the grain index. And it is up 3.07% today. There's your signs of the times in this market currently. But there are opportunities out there. GundersonCapital.com or give us a call at 855-611-BEST. Set up a virtual appointment with us. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.